Came here, most of you weren't here, and I'm sorry you missed it. You came here years ago with a group called the Hungarian Brass, and they were all playing brass instruments, and they were tremendous, and what a blessing that was. He's gone through some hard times. His wife, Lynn, had a very serious illness, and eventually went to be with the Lord. And he's gone on and remained faithful, continued on. And now, the Lord blessed him with a new wife, Stephanie, and your first time here, I believe. And I think I'm right about that. So be sure you get to meet her, and just a lovely person. I know you're going to enjoy meeting her. Brother Murphy was coming to Del Rey for a totally different purpose this week, and he contacted me and said, would it be all right to come by and preach? And I said, how long do you want to preach? He's welcome here anytime. And what a blessing to have with us. Now, I said he had been with Word of Life for some years now. He'd have to tell you exactly what year, because my memory's about a quarter inch long. But, he started his own work called Life Impact for Eternity. And Brother Murphy come, he's going to bring us a song and then a message and tell us about what's going on.
Thank you. It's a delight to be with you. I appreciate you folks so much. You've been faithfully supporting me for a long time. Grateful for that. And for a number of years, I lived in Hungary. Started a youth camp over there, and Bible Institute, and conference ministry, evangelism in different ways, streets and wherever. And so it's just tremendous experience serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And through all this time, you've been faithfully supporting, praying. Your prayers are greatly appreciated. We're thankful for this. So I want to sing a song for me. I learned the Hungarian language, or at least ways a portion of it. while I was in Hungary, it's the world's third most difficult language, so I learned to speak it to a certain extent. I can preach in Hungarian, and they say they can understand me, so hopefully that works. But I want to sing a song for you, see if you recognize the song. I'm going to sing in Hungarian. So those of you who are following on Facebook Live, you have not switched to another country right now. I'm going to sing in the Hungarian language and end up in English, okay?
Nagy Istenem, ha nézve a világot, mit akartó, te szenvedjed szabad. Alátom még sok millió alkotásod, ki kedvezett, és hablaszted magad. A szívem áll, és áll a történetben, mi nagy vagy te, mi nagy vagy te. A szívem áll, és áll a történetben, mi nagy vagy te, mi nagy vagy te. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy powers throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Sing the chorus with me.
Then sings my
using for the Lord. You know, as some of you have followed my life, some of you may know that my first wife went to be with the Lord in December 2013. She battled multiple sclerosis for 20 years and 3 months, and the doctor who she met that diagnosed her situation 20 years before she passed, he predicted how everything would turn out. She had the type of MS that would never improve, just only get worse. And everything that he said was right. He just said, I can't put dates to it. But I'm thankful that God was with us both during those difficult days and sustained us and helped us. And I know for myself, I pressed into God and just putting all this before him. Well, I did not know it. Well, right about that same time, a woman named Stephanie was going through a difficult experience. Oh, about the time that my wife passed, she put her husband into the hospital and just thinking, well, after a few days, I'll get him back home. And she did for just a little bit, had to put him back in home, put him back into the hospital. And so really about 3 months later or so, he goes to be with the Lord. It was a shock for her. We did not know each other. This lady, Stephanie, is here with me today. She's my wife. I'd like Stephanie to stand, please. And God put us together. A friend of a friend introduced us and put us together. And so in 2015, we meet and we begin to realize that we're meant for each other. There is a verse from the Old Testament that says, God has restored what the locusts have eaten. Locust is a symbol of judgment, and really it's like four different types of locusts that would come to a country and just eat everything in sight. God has restored what the locusts have eaten. And so we really understand what it's like. Both of us do understand what it's like to lose your mate in death and to press into God and say, oh, God, help. Some of you, we've already talked at least with one person here today who has experienced this as well. And maybe there are others who are here. I want you to know God is good. Even though we go through difficult experiences in our lives, God is good. And he's at work in all these experiences. We're thankful that God put Stephanie and me together. And we were married in June of 2015. I have to tell you, we were happy. When I proposed to her, I like to pray with her. And so before I was going to propose, I said, let's kneel down here by this hassock and next to our chair there in the living room. And I said, let's pray. So we're kneeling there and praying. And after I finished prayer, we're both on our knees. And I said, Stephanie, I'd like to ask you a question. Actually, two questions. And one is, would you be my wife? And the second one, and would you serve God with me? And she, fortunately, she said yes and yes. And so I'm thankful for this. I did not want to get married and be like a traveling salesman and, you know, go do the mission and then come back home. And she would say, oh, that's nice. And it's all over with. I wanted someone to do this together with me. Now, she has been working as really in some ministry as well, as a professional counselor, marriage counselor and mental health. Maybe that's why she married me. But anyway, so she's had a professional career for 30 years, has her master's degree in this, and has been a highly respected counselor in Jacksonville, Florida. And so she had retired really about a year before her husband passed, and she realized that was good for her because she wasn't busy at the time when God took him home. And so she asking someone in retirement to come out of retirement and to join me on the mission field, well, that was an impressive answer that she said. I like both answers. Both of them were positive yes answers. So I'm just thankful. So God has put a smile on my face with all of this, and I think on hers as well. We're thankful. Stephanie has written a couple of books. One is called Strong and Courageous. Her grandson has autism, and she knows what it does to a family, what it did to her daughter and her daughter's husband when they found out that their three-year-old son had autism. And it's just like with the C word, if you ever hear that from the doctor, you have cancer, oh, it just hits you hard. It's a difficult situation. Well, even for families going through a disease such as autism, there may be other diseases as well. This book goes into how to get through that, how to find some answers, how to deal with all the emotions that you go through in that. It's called Strong and Courageous. And then she's written another book that just came out recently, and this is 100 devotionals on faith, hope, and courage, and new beginnings. So we have a new beginning. It's a little bit of our story in here. So it's devotional readings, a little bit of her story of what happened to her, a little bit of mine as well, and then our story together. And so we're reading this to ourselves in evening devotions right now and enjoying it very much. So we have these books available today. I've got a CD about Brass Team that Pastor was talking about when we were here in 2004. So in case your CD has worn out, we've got a new one today. Or if you don't have one, it is some great music. I sing a solo line, but the rest of it is brass music, and I played the trombone in the group. I was the worst one in the group, that's for sure. But we had a fun time with playing in churches and doing evangelism. And then I'd like to make sure you get a copy of our prayer card. If you're interested in buying one of these books, please see Stephanie after the meeting, after I finish speaking 2 hours later, and check with her. I'm so happy today to see some guests who are here coming from different places. I'm so thankful that you're here. This church has supported me for more than 30 years. I mean, it's been a long time. I started this at age 9, and it's just so good that they've been supporting me for such a long time. I'm grateful. And you know, I don't know exactly how many have come to Christ through the ministry. God knows this. But in these youth camps around the world, in Hungary, Romania, and a country called Montenegro, it's right next to Albania, and in Costa Rica in Central America, and here at ministry in the States, somewhere between 17 or 18,000 have come to Christ, and to God be the glory. But you all have had a part in that. I am grateful for this. Your prayers, your support, your encouragement. Thank you so much. You know, the camp that we started in Montenegro, I just got a burden for this country. It's a very mountainous country, not similar to Florida. It's a very mountainous country. There is a coastline on the Adriatic Sea, it's part of the Mediterranean. Across from their coastline is Italy. So if you know a little bit about Europe, Italy is sticking down into the Mediterranean Sea, kind of looks like a boot. Right across from there, on the right side of the map, is Montenegro. So they do have this coastline, and it goes, and there's a beach, and it goes in all anywhere from 300 feet to a mile, and it goes up. Just all kinds of mountains for the rest of the country. So big mountains. And I've got a burden for this one particular town. I went down there and visits. I was living in Budapest, Hungary, and going down there to just look around. I found out that that country of 900,000 people, there are only 3 gospel preaching churches. That's it. And I met with the pastors and I said, how many Christians are there? Oh, 120 in the whole country. That's it. Well, how many young people know Christ? Oh, 8 or 9. Not 89, 8 or 9. That's all. And I'm thinking, boy, here's what we want to do. We're going to start this youth camp and to reach out here. And so I couldn't just put together a nice 4-color brochure and send it to all the churches. Invite your friends to come to the youth camp. It just wasn't going to work that way. And so I began to pray and say, God, show me what to do. And at age 57, I'm going on the basketball courts to play basketball. Chris, who's announcing basketball, Chris can handle this. He's young. But I went out there and tried to hang out with these young people and try to build some relationships. I had a couple of coaches going to come over. We're going to do a basketball camp and then also do evangelism, preach the gospel. They weren't there yet. So they're going to come in about a week, but I've got to get out there. I had to go out to where the young people are to recruit them to get them to come to camp. This was not an easy task. So I'm out there and playing basketball with them. And in baseball, getting ready to have the World Series, there's a designated hitter. He's the one in the American League stands in to bat for the pitcher, usually a home run hitter. Well, in basketball, I'm considered the designated foul. All I did was bang on those kids. I couldn't keep up with them, but I could slow them down really good. And just get in there and bang with them and just get a hold. Oh, I'm so sorry. Sorry about that rib. You okay? Oh, man, you beat me up, Mr. Eddie. You beat me up. No. And so anyway, just hanging out with them. So after about 10 nights, they found this place and had the lights on all night. I stayed there at about midnight 30. I had to go get some sleep. There's about 60 to 70 young people hanging out there playing basketball. So that's where I went, under the lights, playing with them or trying to play. So after so many nights there, I think about 10 straight nights, I said to them, after they played, when the big guys got on the court, boom, and they're dunking and everything. After they finished, I walked out into the court. There's like 65, 70 young people there. Hey, everybody, my name's Eric. Do you speak English? Come here. Come here. Come here. I've been hanging out with them a little bit. So about half the crowd comes over to me. And they're getting real close. And I began talking and saying, we're going to have a special basketball camp. And we're also going to be teaching about the Bible, that God loves you. And he has a plan for your life if you're interested. But I want you to come play basketball. And this one boy comes over and he says, he's at least 6'10". And he looks down and he went thump on my chest like this. You teach us basketball. We beat you. That's what he said to me. and Serbia, Montenegro, did beat the United States in the Olympics in basketball about 2-3 Olympics ago. And I saw there's a, what do you say to that, Mr. Eric? We beat you. I just laughed. I said, yes, you did. And we're going to, this is what we're going to do this week. And I just laughed with them. And so the night before camp started, two of the parents come, and they're just really upset. And they're just really yelling at me and everything. And they're just, the reason my hair goes back like this is because one of them, I mean, this person was nonstop talking, yelling at me. So I call that person blowtorch. I mean, just blowing my hair back and really telling me off. Except I didn't understand a word they were saying. Because I don't speak their language. I speak some Hungarian, speak a little bit of German, speak a whole lot of English. But I don't speak Montenegrin. And so I put my hands behind my back because, boy, I can tell this parent is not happy. Just put my hands back here and I smiled. I didn't know it, but me smiling really ticked the parent off. And he's just thinking, oh, I'm telling him off, I'm cussing him out, and he's smiling at me. And really give me more. And finally that person had to breathe, and the other one spit on us. And my granddaughter was standing there, she got most of it, and I looked at her, and she's just like, give that right back to him. I thought, look at my granddaughter standing up for her grandpa. I didn't realize she got most of the spit. So, you know, this is a great start to youth camp. And so one of the teenagers comes over to me, because all of them gathered in close. They're just going to see, what's the big fat American going to do now? They got in really close, you know. And so this boy says to me, do you come back here tomorrow night? And I said, yes. I mean, I've been hanging out there with them. We're going to start this camp. And I said, yeah, I'll be back here about 10 o'clock. He said, good, we want you to be killed. He said, say what? He said, didn't you understand? I said, no, I told you I don't speak her language. Oh, I don't worry about them, stupid people. I said, no, back up. What did they say? Oh, they're going home now to get an axe and come back and kill you. Was he kidding me? And I tried to make fun of it and said, I'm about to have an accident. Are you kidding me? No, that's what they're going to do. Don't worry about it. But they did say, if you do come back here tomorrow night, for sure they're going to kill you. And I'm thinking, I'm not there. I don't know Kung Fu like some people I know. I can't go back there and get into a big fight. I'm trying to reach them for Christ. But I'm thinking, I got to come back to this basketball court. These are the young people I've been hanging out with. These are like 11 straight nights now, hanging out with them. I got to come back. I had a lot of fear and trepidation going through me before I went there. And you know what? They didn't show up. I want to tell you something. The first day we opened the camp, one young person camp, we had 28 people from the United States to teach English, to coach basketball, and we had one camper. It wasn't going well at all. I prayed, oh God, help me. This is really hard right now. You know, after we had our day of camp, I had to go back to that basketball court still trying to recruit. This is the day that they said they're going to kill me. I go back, no one showed up to kill me. So I'm hanging out with them again. But do you realize on the second day, I told my translator, because two people came to camp, I said, this is great! We have 100% increase! He says, Eddie, we have two. Just two. But I was trying to be positive with it. And I told the Americans who were there to do all this, to teach them some basketball, I said, please hang in there with me. This is going to get better. Hang in there with me. Oh, we're going to do the best we can. We understand what you're trying to do. And by the third day, there were 9. And by the fourth day, there were 17. And I finally decided to give the gospel invitation, preach to them. At that time, I talked to them coming back to the hotel we were renting, to the meeting room there, the dining room, we call it our meeting room space. And they came. Do you know, we had 7 receive Christ that night. It was fantastic. And one of those 7 was that boy who said, do you come back here tonight? And it finally hit me. God used adversity, difficulty, to get that camp started. It wasn't getting out there, hey, throw me a pass, boom. It wasn't all that. It was the difficult time. They wanted to see, what's the American going to do now that he's been threatened and whatever. They wanted to see Christianity is really working. I've never seen that young man since. He was 17 at that time. That was his unique opportunity to receive Christ. Let me tell you, the last day of camp, we had 32. We finally have more campers than workers. It was fantastic. How many did we have this past summer? 450. It was just great. It's a one-week camp, sports camp. It's just going fantastic. But you had to get started somewhere. You all helped to make that possible, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you so much. We're having camps in Costa Rica. Got one coming up in January. Please pray for that, about January 28 to 25. So please be praying for that. And now, for the next 2 hours, I'd like to share a message with you from, no, hold the doors, our guests will be leaving. I'm just joking, just a few minutes. From Psalms chapter 55. Psalms 55. We're going to be looking at verses 12 and 13. What I want to share with you is that for Christians, for believers, you go through various ups and downs in life. Some of you know all about that. You've experienced some great difficulties. Let me tell you about one, which is one of the greatest tests that you'll ever face. It's found in chapter 55, verse 12. David is speaking here. He says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him, but it was thou, a man my equal, my guide, and my acquaintance." I'm talking about the theme of betrayal. If you've ever been betrayed by a business associate, a partner, by a colleague that you work so closely with, for a child or a teenager, a best friend who's turned on you and told all your secrets to everyone else in the crowd standing around laughing at you. Young people can face betrayal. Adults can face betrayal. A fellow pastor who would turn against you. It could be many different examples. David was saying, if it would have been an enemy, I would have understood this. I could have borne this better. But no, it was you. The one who was so close to me, like an equal to me. That's when you feel like you're hit right in the solar plexus, taking all the wind out, and you can hardly breathe. That hurts so bad. Go on to verse, thou man of equal, verse 13, my guide and my acquaintance. It goes on to explain more. Verse 14, we took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. That is a difficult experience. And for Christians, it's one of the most difficult. I call it graduate Christianity. When you are really tested. You see, when difficult experience comes into our lives, it could be for one of two reasons, it seems to me. One reason could be that it's a test. God's testing you. He tested Moses. He tested Joseph. He tested David. He tested Paul. He tested many others. It could be a test. And if it's a test, it's to prepare us for something greater at that point. The thing to do is to accept it as a test and bear this. Or it could be number two, it could be it's something to protect you. Wait a minute, it's a painful experience and that's a protection. It could be something that's much worse. It could be a protection. Have you ever had something happen where you were going somewhere in a certain direction, but you made the wrong turn and you were detoured for a while? Who knows? That could have been a protection. Maybe there's an accident that you missed, but you're frustrated because you're behind in your schedule and you're trying to make sense of all of it. It could be a test. It could be a protection. But it's something that God is doing in our lives. The point is to accept it. See what David did. And verse 16, as for me, I will call upon the Lord. That is God. And the Lord shall save me. As for me, I will call upon God. He begins to teach us. If you go back, you can read this later, the first few verses of chapter 55, he is in one bad mood or downtime. He is complaining to the Lord. He is crying out to the Lord. It's tough right now. The first few verses begin to explain about this. And he said, verse 10, day and night they go about it upon the walls there, of mischief also and sorrow in the midst of it. They are tormenting me day and night. He's talking about his enemies. And then he takes to the Lord in verse 11. He says, verse 12, he says, this one is the most difficult thing, because it was the one that I went to church with that turned against me. Oh God, why did this happen? He is just pouring out his heart. But the mood, the atmosphere, everything about it changes in verse 16 when he says, but as for me, I will go to God. And things begin to improve. The rest of the chapter, things are on the upswing. Most of the book of Psalms is that way, chapter after chapter. It's okay to pour out your heart, your soul, to the Lord when you're going through a difficult time. In fact, that's the best place to go, is to God and just pour it out and tell him all about it. But then teach yourself to praise God. Let me give it another example. David had been fleeing Saul, and Saul had been trying to take his life. And it's not easy having to live in caves year after year. He's already been anointed by Samuel, the prophet, who is he's going to become the next king. But there was a lapse, more than 10 years period of time, before he became that king. That was a long test. But God was testing him. So he leads he's having some difficulties with the group that people call the Amalekites. And they're children of Esau, Jacob Esau brothers, twins. So he's chased them, and when he comes back, he's realized that another group, the Philistines, have come in there and taken all of their possessions in the city Ziklag where he was living. Their possessions, wives, children, livestock, everything gone. His men were distraught, and in that culture, what they would do is that they would get so upset they begin tearing on their clothes and get dust from the ground, or even sit on the ground, throw it up in the air, very demonstrative and dramatic, and they're just really upset. And one of them says, we should get stones and stone David. In other words, it's got to be somebody's fault, so it's David's fault. And all these men who were so faithful, and he had trained them to be crackerjack troops, soldiers, they spoke of stoning him. David did something. He says he inquired of the Lord. He took it to God. And God told him what to do. He said, go pursue those troops, that group of people that stole all your stuff, and you'll get everything back. Plus, you'll get more. Go do it. You will have the victory. And that's what they did. And I've learned that since that time, during that period of time, in the next 72 hours, that King Saul was killed in a different battle. And David, shortly after that, became the king and rode into Jerusalem with a strong army. He says this not by himself to say, I'm the king now, Samuel anointed me. But he came in with a strong army. God helped him through a difficult time. You'll have ups and downs throughout your life. How do you handle them? Do you go to God about them? Or do you dwell in bitterness and have a lack of forgiveness? You see, when someone turns against you so close, the human reaction is to protect yourself. Why did you say that about me? That's a lie, what you just said. Why did you say that? You want to protect yourself. You want to defend yourself, even physically defend yourself. You get so upset. If you dwell on it too long, then you want to take revenge. Oh, you're in deep trouble at that point. Once in my life, I had some deep bitterness. I'm sorry that I chose that. That was wrong. I was much younger at the time. I don't like bitterness. It eats you up. It's like putting chains around you. You're not happy. If you see me, get to know me, I went around and spoke to most of you before this meeting started. I'm a positive, outgoing person. I like to smile. I love to laugh. I enjoy people. I love people. But during that time, I was so bound with that bitterness and asked God to forgive me. I won't ever go that way again. I invite you not to go that way. So what to do? Press into God. Turn the situation over to Him. Sometimes I have to do like this in a prayer, and I put the whole problem into my hands, and while I'm praying, I just lift it up, and here, God, here it is. I can't handle this. I turn it over to you. Help me with this. And I'm telling you, He does. And by the way, I know what I'm talking about because, Pastor, I was recently tested again by the Lord in this same thing right now. I'm preaching to myself right now. I was tested in this again. I want to pass the test. I want to be praising God. When David finishes up this chapter 55, he is really praising. Let me tell you, folks, you're going to have difficulties through this world. The Gospel of John tells us about it. In this world, you're going to have tribulations, it says. But I am with you. And another verse, he says, I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He knows. You see, Jesus Christ suffered betrayal. In John chapter 19, he begins to talk about this. He talks about the one who will betray me. He knows what that's like. He suffered that. In that chapter, it talks that he was grieved in his spirit. Jesus Christ, well, this is the human side. He was grieved. It's okay to be grieved in your spirit. What did he do? He prayed. He went to God the Father. But he bore that test. I want to tell you, if you look over in John chapter 21, how to handle things, Jesus gives us the best example of all. Chapter 20 of the book of Acts. Here's what he says after the crucifixion on the cross, after the resurrection from the grave. He makes an appearance to his disciples. In chapter 20 and verse 19, if you have a Bible that has the words of Jesus in red print, it'll just stick right out to you. Here's the first thing he said to some of the people who betrayed him, who turned away from him when they took him away to be crucified. It's the last four words of verse 19 of John 20. Peace be unto you. Instead of saying, you dirty, rotten rascals, you cowards, you whatever else, be angry with them, he said, peace be unto you. In verse 21, he says it again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You see, even Jesus Christ, as man, suffered a betrayal. It's just like one of the most difficult situations that you go through as a believer, if not the most difficult. Jesus knows about this. So what did he do to the ones who turned away from him? He said, peace be unto you. When I go to Romania, the believers greet me. They say, pace. Pace. It means peace. Peace be unto you. Pace. Pace. You go to the Baptist churches there, that's what they'll tell you. Other groups as well. Pace. Pace. I love it. It's a beautiful phrase. Peace be unto you. That's how to handle things. It's to put it into your hands to say, God, this is horrible. This hurts so bad. And you can go through all the stuff, after all I've done for them, after all of the sacrifices I've, you know, you go through all that stuff. That's not going to help that much. It's just to turn to, here, God, I give it to you. I cannot handle this. I cannot take it. I need your strength. I need your power. And I am telling you, you'll be able to say, brother, peace be unto you. God will help you with this. I pray that you'll be encouraged with this. One more thing I want to share with you is chapter 21 and verse 22. Something else Jesus said. The last three words of that verse, follow thou me. You see, it was easy for them to follow him. I'm sure that Peter, who denied Jesus Christ three times, Christ said he would. Jesus said he would. Oh, no, I'll never do that, but he did. You know the Bible story. He denied Christ three times. And Christ said to him, peace be unto you. Wow. So chapter 21, verse 22, follow thou me. They were ready to go. Yeah, they were ashamed, embarrassed that they couldn't stand it to be around and watch the crucifixion. They were hurt. They didn't know what to think. But they are changed men as they go into the book of Acts. Peter is a changed man. He's the leader of the church, particularly for the first 8 to 9 chapters of the book of Acts. It's an incredible story. But Jesus, his master, said, peace be unto you. Follow me. For you to be able to reach others for Jesus Christ, we got to be willing to go through the various tests, even if it hurts as bad as a betrayal, and turn it over to him. Otherwise, it's just going to eat you up. You already heard me tell you, I know what I'm talking about with that. I'm ashamed of that behavior 30-some years ago. Ashamed of that. Today, we'll learn something different. I don't know where you are regarding all of this. If there's something going on in your life right now, the difficulties, I encourage you to turn to the Lord. Let's pray. Our loving Father, I pray that you would encourage this church. I'm just so thankful. The members are here, guests are here, people are listening in through Facebook Live. Later they can see this on YouTube. And you use the words of this message to reach out to so many people, some of which we'll never meet, because it's on social media. But here we are in this church today. Speak to our hearts. And dear God, if someone's struggling with this right now, I pray they give it to you. Give it to you. Forgive the other person. Forgive the one who betrayed them, turned against them. And find a new release and a new peace that they've never known. They're only hurting themselves when they're not forgiving. They learn so much by forgiving. Speak to our hearts about this, God. Thank you for the example of Jesus Christ, who after the resurrection did not seek to get revenge. He said, peace be unto you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.